This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, show me the money!
Jerry, you better yell!
Show me the money!
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money
talk. Here comes
the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. This is Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM. So what does that mean? Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports, that's for sure. We've got a fun show lined up for you. As always, on Friday from 10 p.m. to midnight, especially as we get closer to football season. If you know anything about me, obviously my wheelhouse is football. I take gambling extremely serious. So I'm going to direct you in how to spend your money and where to spend your money when it comes to golf and football. Obviously, we've got a big tournament happening with the Northern Trust right now, so we're going to dive into that during this show. Also, a little bit later, around 11:30, David Berman, who's going to be joining us, he oversees our chalk site, our gambling site for ESPN. So excited. He's going to join us to talk some golf and NBA. What are some of our experts who are handicapping the NBA? Where are their picks for maybe tomorrow's games, as well as if there's futures bets out there in regards to the NBA, predicting, anticipating what the next series are going to be? So David Berman is going to join us at 11:30 this evening. Also, Cynthia Freeland is going to join us from the NFL. As we get closer, can you imagine? By the way, Joel is producing the show. He's back at the studio. As always, I'm coming to you live from the living room of my apartment. Woo! Welcome to COVID-19. This is how we operate, right, Joel? This is what we do. This is what we do.
We do.
Dude.
Yeah.
This is what we do. So, Joel, can you believe we're 2 weeks away from the NFL season starting?
I mean, it's still unbelievable. And what's crazy about it is also a million things could happen between now and then.
Like what?
I mean, just in terms of COVID and what they decide to do. Like, yeah, they're pushing forward, but who knows what's going to... Like, we've been living day to day.
You're so dramatic. Yeah, I love... Your voice is so dramatic. I love it.
Well, because I want football, and I just want to know I'm going to get it.
Let's rewind where I said, if you recall, a few weeks ago, I said I will be shocked if the NFL season starts on time. So let's just say that I'm shocked right now that the NFL season is starting on time. But it seems to be that NFL players are living like monks. Like Buster Olney, I will not plagiarize. I refuse to. Buster Olney was on with me about 3 weeks ago, and he said that's the only way that professional sports is going to be able to operate and survive, and that is these players are going to have to live like monks. And of course, he's talking about the ones who are living outside the bubble, because as we know, the ones that did live inside the bubble have been living like monks. So, I'm sure it's a lot more temptation, a very difficult thing. So I'm sure a lot more difficult for Major League Baseball and NFL players. But let's commend them. I mean, because, really, when it comes to COVID-19 and contracting the coronavirus, it's not necessarily what happens within your facility. It's not necessarily what happens when you're in your diamond, your rink, your arena, your stadium. That's not where it's happening. It's happening outside, and it's happening with individuals who aren't quarantining, aren't making the right decisions, aren't staying away from places that maybe they should not frequent. especially when it comes to professional athletes who are responsible for people who are more than just themselves. So anyway, with that being said, I do believe the NFL season is going to start on time. Does that mean that it will run its course in a timely fashion and end on time? I don't think so. I hope so. I will be praying so. But, you know, there's so many uncertainties, especially as, you know, right now we're all doing okay because we're outside, right? Like, Joel, what would you say the percentage of your day in regard to the stuff that you do as a routine on a day-to-day basis you're outside?
I'd say I'm out pretty frequently, but I'm out of the ordinary. I'm like you. I've got a dog, so you know I'm always walking and I'm looking for hikes and stuff like that. But if you take that part out, probably
look, they
not
just
much.
Heard, you hear
yeah,
they heard
I hear.
You.
Yeah, Frankie
they heard you.
Me.
They you said dogs, and then
yep,
and then
they hear
was it.
They're like, yeah,
they
went I want to get in on the conversation. You're talking about me
exactly.
But other than that, I'm probably not getting out much other than to just go to my car for the weekly trip to go pick up groceries.
Is that it? You go to the grocery store once a week.
That's
you don't
it.
Why don't you order you can't are you in a place where you can't order your groceries to be delivered?
No, it's not like that. It's just more expensive that way. And you know, some of us some of us have to pinch pennies.
Yeah, I pinch pennies.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying I can't afford to do the delivery thing. That's all.
Okay. I pinch pennies, but I value the delivery way is safer.
It's so much safer.
It's so much safer. So I go that route. But anyway, neither here nor there. I do believe the NFL season is going to begin on time. And so Cynthia Freeland is going to be joining us on the show. I booked her for 11 o'clock. She's going to jump on board with some of her, more specifically, if you know anything about Cynthia Freeland, you watch her on the NFL Network, she talks more so about athletes and what their props and their future bets are. So she's listed a ton of quarterbacks over and unders in regard to passing yards and passing touchdowns, wide receivers, one running back in specifically that I would imagine a lot of people are interested in. And then I kind of listed when you're wagering, and I'm assuming that folks that are listening to the show right now are I don't want professional gamblers, but savvy. Let's just say Joel, let's call them savvy gamblers. And so typically, you know, you want to get ahead of the flow of money. When you're wagering, that's the wise way to gamble. You want to get ahead of the flow of wagering. So, for example, week one of the NFL season, there's some lines out there right now that I really like that you want to get on now because as you get closer to week one, let alone, let's say, like the week of week one, money flow is going to be so big that these lines are going to change. So you want to jump on them now. So I'm going to go through some week one, and I actually listed some week two lines that you can jump on right now and put some money on, as well as future bets when it comes to the NFL. And also Dan Torgman, who works with ABR, America's Best Racing, is going to join us on the show in about 20 minutes at 10:30. You've got some exciting horse racing that's taking place out on the left coast at Del Mar tomorrow. And he's got, four races that he's got some picks for you. So that's our show tonight. I'm pretty excited about it. So Dan Torgman's going to be joining us at 10:30 to talk some horse racing from America's Best Racing. 11 o'clock, Cynthia Freeland's going to jump on board. We'll talk some NFL. At 11:30, David Berman from ESPN, our chalk site, our gambling site at ESPN, is going to join us, and we'll talk golf and NBA. You've got some games that are taking place tonight. Again, let's rewind. Unfortunately, the Nets lost to the Raptors earlier today, 117-92. So Toronto leads that series right now, 3-0. And Sunday, game four will take place at 6:30 p.m. And again, the Raptors are up 3-0 in that series. Right now, 4 minutes into the second quarter, The Clippers are up on the Mavericks 50-41. I'm watching that game right now. So, the final earlier today, the Jazz took care of the Nuggets 124-87. So, Utah, the Jazz, they are up in that series 2-1. And also the Celtics, they took care of the 76ers 102-94. So Boston is up in that series 3-0. Really horrible turn of events in regard to what's happened with the Sixers, and obviously Ben Simmons going out with the injury that he suffered early on when they first got into the bubble obviously affected that situation. And but there's some really good games on starting tomorrow. The Bucks and the Magic. The Magic obviously surprised the Bucks in week one. That series is tied right now, 1-1. The Pacers and the Heat, you got to love the way the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler is just on fire, no pun intended, right, Joel? But the Heat and the Pacers, that series, you've got game three happening tomorrow at 3:30. I really like the Heat. They're favored by 5. The over-under in that is 214, and Miami is up on that series 2-0. And then at 6 o'clock, you have the Rockets and the Thunder. Houston is up on that series 2-0, and they are favored by 3. The over-under is that is 224. And then last but not least, this is going to be a good one at 8:30. You've got the Lakers and the Trailblazers. That series is all tied up. Obviously, Portland surprised a lot of Laker fans in game one. And Damian Lillard, who's been the MVP of the bubble, unfortunately has injured his finger. But he did say that he is, reports today is that he is going to play tomorrow night. And the Lakers are favored by 7 in that game with a total of 225. Very lackluster performance by LeBron James. But man, Anthony Davis, boy, did he put on a show. In game two. And that game will tip off at 8:30. So David Berman will have some picks for us in those matchups as well. So as you can see, a lot more coming your way. Anita Marks with you. This is Week in Wager, brought to you by BetMGM. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. We're here to hopefully help you win some money this weekend. So still more to come. When we get back, I'm going to dive into the Northern Trust, that golf tournament that's taking place right now where, man, Scheffler was 12 under today. He shot a 59. Dustin Johnson was 11 under today. He shot a 60. Somebody pinch me. That's just, it's so ridiculous that it's just dumb. Could you imagine, like, for all you, like, normal, and I say normal, like, for all us average golfers out there, right? Like, whenever I tee up, I'm always like, today's the day I'm going to break 80. And granted, I'm not sitting here comparing myself to Scheffler or DJ. Far from it. But could you just imagine, like, if I break 80, I'm euphoric. I am out of this world. Can we just marinate in the fact that a dude shot 59 today? And by the way, on a TPC course in Boston. I can't.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Money! That's what we're here for, right? You're listening to Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Without further ado, Dan Torgman joins us from America's Best Racing. Dan, good evening. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Bringing me with Pink Floyd, huh?
That's Joel. Joel's running the show from New York. I'm the wimp who won't go into the city, and I do everything from my apartment.
I don't blame you.
All right, let's break it down. We've got some fun races happening in Del Mar tomorrow, the Pacific Classics. So let's start with race number 7. And this is the Del Mar Handicap, and everyone is goo goo gaga over United. Tell us all the reasons why.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, I'm going to go through 4 races here leading up to the TVG Pacific Classic, which is the feature tomorrow. The Pacific Classic features Maximum Security, which is a horse everybody knows, right? He's Mr. Controversy, won the Derby last year, was disqualified. tons of drama around him and his previous trainer. But the other headliner, as you touched on just a moment ago, United in the Del Mar Handicap Race 7. The reason why there's hype around this horse, well, he finished second in the biggest race of the year for turf horses, so horses that run on the grass, the Breeders' Cup Turf at the end of the year last year. That's the biggest race for those horses. And the race was won by a horse named Bricks and Mortar, who ended up being the horse of the year last year. So this horse just finished second to that one. And then United has come back this year, and he's won every race. So, I mean, you basically got the equivalent of what Maximum Security is on the dirt. That's what you got with United here on the turf. He's a standout in grass races. So, okay, so those are his accolades. He's also won two of his three races at Del Mar. But this is a big field. There are a couple of horses who've actually gone up against him already. A few of them have beaten him in the past, and at least one has, Oscar Dominguez. But a few of them have been close. So he hasn't been, like, dominating these horses. He wins by, like, a length, a half a length. I think he's vulnerable. And so I'm going to look for a little bit of value in this race. I'm going to go with a horse who's 12-1 on the morning line. The odds could fluctuate, of course, depending on the betting. But the horse that I landed on is a horse named Proud Pedro, the 6 horse. He's stepping up in class, which means he's going to be facing a tougher collective field than he's faced before. But he has beaten several of the horses in this race previously, most notably Red King, the 7 horse, who is going to get, I think, some decent money bet on him, especially because he's got one of the best riders on the circuits riding Umberto Rispoli. So Proud Pedro, I think, stacks up in company. The other thing I like about him, too, is that he has a pretty good kick. And I think if he gets a nice little setup and he's drawn well, I think he could potentially get the run of the race. And I think just where he's positioned, I think he stands to essentially run into a good race, a good pace setup. And he's also won at Del Mar. I think there are a lot of positive signs with him. And I'm looking for a horse who's maybe a little under the radar. And for me, it's Proud Pedro as a little bit of a price play in the Del Mar Handicap.
Yeah, right now I have it 12-1. Is that what you have it at right now?
Yeah, 12-1 right now. I would imagine, look, United is 8-5 on the morning line. I think he's going to probably bet down a little bit shorter than that, even might go off even money. You also have a horse named Combatant in here who's, he's a pretty classy horse. He hasn't done much on the turf, but people will bet him. And if you want a price, by the way, if you're going to bet an exact in this race, I gave you Proud Pedro, the 6 horse. I wouldn't mind throwing in the 5 horse, Warden Jerry. And if you want to add just one more horse who could be a little bit of a wild card, the 4 horse, Big Buzz, 20-1 on the morning line. He's the main speed in the race. So if for whatever reason the speed doesn't develop, this horse might find himself loose on the lead. It might take them a pretty long way on the front end. Even if he doesn't win, he might finish second. So I would use 4, Big Buzz in your exactas.
Interesting. All right. You also like the 8th race. What horse are you eyeing in that race?
So the horse that I love in this race is the 3-horse Potentico. I said a moment ago, Umberto Rispoli, I mentioned him in the last race. He's known for his turf rides, but he is just red hot on everything right now. And he's getting on this horse for the first time. This one ran a massive race last out. He was 3-4 wide all the way around, which means he was losing ground. He was covering more ground than the other horses. And he still kicked on to battle with a horse named Dark Vader, who's actually coming back tomorrow and running in the Pacific Classic. So he was head-to-head with a horse who's going up against Maximum Security tomorrow. Now he's facing basically sort of that mid-level competition that he was facing before, and so he's not stepping up in class. He's basically facing the same competition, doesn't have to face this horse Dark Vader, who's facing tougher horses. And like I said, the big addition here of Rispoli riding him for the first time is huge. The other thing is this horse has also run some of his best races at Del Mar on the dirt, and so he loves this track. The distance is perfect, and the competition is going to be a little easier tomorrow for Potentico. I would, if you're playing the pick 4s and pick 5s, I would single Potentico, probably going to be my play of the day tomorrow when all is said and done. I don't see anyone in this field who could beat him.
You know, Dan, in the past, we've talked about, how certain horses are bred to run on different tracks. Why is it that Umberto is such a good, why are certain jockeys better and more successful on certain tracks?
That's a great
others.
Question. So that's a really, really great question. So Umberto Rispoli, I could probably pronounce the name with a little more flair. He's from Italy, and he's spent the majority of his career riding in Europe. And so it's a completely and in Europe, they ride almost their biggest races are almost entirely on the turf, on the grass. And so jockeys that come from Europe or who have, you know, training or experience in Europe, they tend to be just better on the grass, just simply because our style of racing here in the U.S. dirt racing highly emphasizes speed and basically getting to the front and you know, hoping, you know, if you don't have speed, you're sitting off of them and you could do something. In Europe, there's a lot more strategy involved. Turf races tend to unfold a little slower and tactically. And so, you know, it just so happens that because there's so much of an emphasis on grass racing and turf racing in Europe, a lot of times you see European riders come over to the U.S. like Umberto has and have a lot of success on the turf. Other riders who do well on the turf, including on the West Coast, would be Flavien Prat. He's 1-2 with Umberto Rispoli in terms of best turf riders. You also have Florent Giroux, again, French, Flavien Prat, French. All the riders you see coming over from Europe who do long stints here or even brief stints tend to do really well at the grass.
Again, Dan Torchman joining us from America's Best Racing. All right, we're moving on to the ninth race, which is the Del Mar Oaks. And Miss Extra, from what I understand, right? Miss Extra is the horse to beat, right? Miss Extra
headliner.
Heading into...
Yep, guess who's riding her?
Umberto!
Yep, Umberto again.
Wait, I have another question. What's the... Are they like caddies? Are jockeys like caddies? Do they make like 10% or 20%? Or what? Like, what's their percentage take in regard to a win? Because this dude's going to like... This dude's on all the best horses. Like, obviously, like, he's going to rack... Like dude's going to buy a whole new... He's going to have to build a whole new closet for the amount of shoes he's going to be able to purchase after Del Mar.
Oh, you know he's stylish, too. I saw him doing an interview the other day. Like, he's totally, like, Italian, like Versace'd out, just totally swagged out.
No doubt. When told me Italian, I figured that. But what do jockeys take in regard to winnings?
It's 10%. So they'll take 10% of the winner's share. So you've got I'm going to just give you a big number. Let's say it's $1 million race. There's $1 million in the purse. The winner of the race gets 60% of that traditionally. So it'll be $600,000. The jockey share will be 10% of that. So the jockey would get $60,000 if they win a race like that. This race in particular, the Del Mar Oaks, $250,000. I should break out my calculator. Whatever 60% of $250,000 is, he's going to get 10% of that if he wins the race. So, yeah.
Got it.
All jockeys get 10% of the winner's share. So Rispoli is on Miss Extra, who's making her first race, first start in the U.S. In France, she won some pretty big races. She won what's called a Group 2 race, which compares comparably and favorably to Group 2 and Group 3 turf races, especially with three-year-old fillies. The younger female turf horses in Europe, a lot of times when they come over, they have a bit of an edge over some of the three-year-old fillies on the turf here. Again, it's just one of those things where there's a lot more emphasis placed on that kind of racing in Europe. And so you see these horses tend to do well when they come over. The other one coming in from Europe is the 8 horse, Neige Blanche, also coming over from France, also a group winner, a group 3 winner, slightly kind of lower company than the one that I've mentioned before with Miss Extra, but still very strong. And her jockey is going to be Flavien Prat as she makes her first race. So again, top two jockeys riding the top European horses who are going to get the bulk of the action, the bulk of the money bet on them tomorrow in the Del Mar Oaks. So I think they're both going to be tough for various reasons. But, you know, I think if you're going to go with one of the locals, for me at least, the horse that I like is the 11 horse. It's Guitty, G-U-I-T-T-Y, the 11 horse, has improved steadily, I think, over her last few starts. She had a new jockey up last time, Juan Hernandez, and he seemed to get more out of her than anyone who'd ridden her previously. She's a horse who likes to be way, way, way off the pace and just make one run, and he did that. He settled her way off the pace, got her to make one run, and they closed, like a shot, and they almost caught a horse named Laura's Light, who's 3-1 in this race. Laura's Light just barely beat GT last out and is going to be, you know, 3-1, 7-2, or maybe even shorter, maybe even 5-2. GT, you might get it 8-1 or 10-1. So you're going to get 3-4 times the price with the 11 horse. So that's why I kind of lean toward that one. And I think there is a good amount of speed in this race. Laura's Light is always on the front end. There's a horse named Parkour who has speed. Another one, Aqua Seaform Shame, is going to show speed. So there's a ton of speed in the race. I think it sets up for a closer or a horse who's a bit more patient, like those European horses. In all likelihood, they'll probably be coming from off the pace. And the same thing with the 11-horse GT. I would box the 11 with the 8 and the 3, the two European horses that we mentioned.
You know, you mentioned Laura's Light. From what I understand, her sire is the same sire as Tis the Law, which a lot of people feel is the best horse this season, best three-year-old horse this season. So, obviously, it just goes to show you how much genetics does play a role in horse racing, obviously. All right, last but not least, Dan, we're going to break down race number 10. And you mentioned it just a second ago, Maximum Security. Boy, this horse, so... hashtag drama king, and not even his fault, right? Like, just all the stuff that he's been involved in, unbelievable, with, you know, his trainer and the DQ and all that. But obviously he's the horse to beat in the Pacific Classic, right?
Yeah, look, what's key to know about this horse is that, and we've talked about this before, when he ran his first career race way back in late 2018, he was in what's called a maiden claiming race, and it was a $16,000 maiden claiming race, which means if you're an owner who has an account set up with the track and you had money in your account, you could have purchased this horse, or you could have put money in and purchased this horse for $16,000. What that signals to people when a horse is in a maiden $16,000 race is that the owner of the horse at that time doesn't care if they lose the horse, because $16,000 is not much for an owner, for most owners in horse racing. So the fact that he was in that race to begin with, they were like, wow, like, why was he in this race? He ended up winning that race by almost 10 lengths, and from there just took off. And the thing is, all this time later, he's under the, you know, under the care and under in the program of Jason Service, who ultimately, you know, unfortunately was caught up in some really bad stuff. I mean, he hasn't been convicted, so we'll give him due process, but he's been accused of, you know, essentially administering, you know, drugs to his horses. Now, there's never been linkage between that and Maximum Security. So there hasn't been direct linkage, at least. So we don't know that Maximum Security's performances were aided in any way by that. So all that drama, and now that he's no longer trained by Jason Service, he's trained by Bob Baffert, who, yes, is a great trainer. But when you have a horse coming off a program where there were suspect things going on, you sort of say, hey, look, are we going to see the same horse now? He's only run one race with Bob Baffert. He won the race, but he was all out to win the race. I mean, he barely beat Midcourt, who comes back in this race, the one horse Midcourt, who was on the front end last out in the San Diego Handicap. But he was all out to beat him. In third was a horse named Higher Power. Again, he was probably 5 or 6 lengths back. But Higher Power's a horse who's kind of running competition with some of these, was beaten, you know, just a couple of lengths a few races back in a grade one. So you've got decent horses in this race, to where if Maximum Security is not the same Maximum Security, and considering you just won by a nose last out against a couple of these, you throw in a couple of new shooters, maybe Maximum Security is beatable. Look, logically, if he's the same old Maximum Security, he's going to beat them, and he's going to win this race tomorrow. For me, I'm going to play, you know, pick fours and pick fives. I'm going to obviously use Maximum Security because, you know, I think even if he's not the same Maximum Security, if one or two of these don't have their best day, he could still probably win without his best. The one horse that I think is interesting here is the 4 horse, Dark Vader. This is another one who's stepping up in class, hasn't faced this level of competition. And I mentioned him a few races ago in terms of the company that he kept with Potentico. You know, he really was impressive last out in the way he was engaged early. And then he just you could watch the way he strode out and the way he kind of eyed the other horse late. He's a horse who's headed in the right direction. If you follow speed figures, his buyer speed figures have all been mid-90s for his last 4 races. And if he gets a shot at this level, and he fails, so be it. But I think he's going to be about 20-1, and his jockey, Umberto Rispoli. And so
I can't.
I'm going to go. Enough.
I can't. I've had enough with Umberto. I've had enough. The dude is just gonna. He's gonna bank tomorrow. He's just absolutely gonna bank.
I would play the horse at a minimum. I would play the horse across the board. Win place show even if the price is big enough. But certainly don't leave Maximum Security off your tickets. I would not be surprised if he lost tomorrow.
Dan, thank you so much. Really appreciate you, my friend. Dan Torgman joining us from America's Best Racing. Make sure you check out their website with all their horse racing content. It's really awesome. Dan, again, thank you so much. I know it's late. I appreciate it. Tell the wifey I said thank you as well. And I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Have a good night. Good luck.
All right.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Check it out now.
Hey, this is Brett Musburger, and you're listening to Anita Marks on the Weekend Wager.
Anita Marks with you. Hour 2, Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Believe in Cynthia Freeland at the NFL Network. Cynthia, this is fun having you on a Friday night. I'm not used to that.
You know, I love hanging out with you on a Friday night. It's better. It's the best time.
It is better. It is better. All right. So before we get into all your NFL picks and your future bets for all your prop plays and all that, you used to, before you made your way over to the West Coast to work for the NFL, you worked at ESPN. That's where we met. And I know you're very familiar with the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon.
Woohoo!
So it's happening right now, but it's happening like away from Bristol. So earlier today, we recorded our 10-person mock PPR 14-round draft.
Okay, 14 just rounds. Okay, got it.
Yeah, just FYI. So I had the 6th pick, and my first pick was Michael Thomas. I turned around with Eckler.
Okay, keep going.
Crickets right there. Go ahead. Do you think it's great? That what?
I think it's a great pick. I think Eckler, you're doing great. Keep going. I want to keep hearing more.
Okay. And then I really wanted either, and I never do this. My rule of thumb is like, I don't touch a quarterback until like round 9, but I just love Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson so much that I really wanted either one of them in the 3rd round. And they both went right before me. I think one went to Adam Schefter and the other one went to Michael Clay. The two quarterbacks that I was planning, again, this is, so folks listening, this is a 10-person mock draft. So they went before it came back to me. And so I took Chris Carson, running back for Seattle.
Love it. I think you got a huge deal on that one.
Yeah. So I got Gronk in the 8th round.
Love it.
I got Paris Campbell in the 14th round. That was my last pick, was Paris Campbell. I'm expecting big things from him this year. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. So it's just kind of we're doing the fantasy football marathon from home. It's just so weird. But anyway, folks listening, make sure you tune in. ESPN starting Sunday night goes through Monday night, and I want to say our mock draft takes place sometime around like noon or 1 on Monday. But without further ado, again, Cynthia Freeland is joining us from the NFL Network to break down some of her players and some of the prop bets out there that you could start gambling, putting your money on. So let's start with the quarterbacks. Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, you like him over 4,494.5 passing yards. I love it. I concur. Tell me all the reasons why.
Okay, so last season we saw Matt Ryan attempt the fewest percentage of deep passes in his entire career. Why? His O-line, the starting O-line, only played together for something like 10% of snaps, like 9.6% of snaps. So he was constantly under more pressure, meaning he had to get rid of the ball. The run game wasn't working. He couldn't get that deep ball going like we've seen. He still had Julio Jones, of course, and Calvin Ridley, but they have a lot of things going for them, including a new tight end. I love this pick. I think it's like, I would have imagined, I was looking at expecting to see like 4,600, not 44. So I think it's a great deal there.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst, I believe is the tight end you're talking. Yep. Yeah, I think. And keep in mind, they have they brought over Todd Gurley. So I think he's going to create, a threat at the running back position, which hopefully can open up more things in the passing game. Baker Mayfield, I had you on my weekend shows. We talked about fantasy football. You're expecting big things from him. Over under 23.5 touchdown passes, and you're saying over.
Bake is going to throw lots of touchdown passes. It's all about play action pass. I told you this before, and I'll say it again. I'm banging the drum for Baker. I'm actually targeting him in many of my fantasy leagues because I think the way you've seen Kevin Stefanski make quarterback work with using play action, something that Baker Mayfield has a ton of experience in prior to the kind of last regime he was in, I think that with that strong run game, you know what happens when you have a strong run game? Play action works. Then you got OBJ, you got Juice Landry, you're all set there. I think that's a great situation for him. I think 24, I think 8 quarterbacks had at least 24 passing touchdowns last season. And I think, had 22. So he's going to be totally fine.
So you like Murray, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, because I missed out on Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in the third round, I was eyeing to draft Kyler Murray in the sixth round. But, you know, that damn Michael Clay, he did it again. He swooped in and he drafted him. So I went with DK Metcalf, just FYI. But you like Murray over 3,779.5. So let's just say almost what three? Where do people come up with these numbers? Like 3,779.5. Like 3,779.5. Like why don't you make it?
You want a tip for my business school days? If you're negotiating your job, this is very usable for the listeners, right? You're negotiating your job or you're negotiating a rate. You should always ask for a weird number because then people will and be like, yeah, I really thought it through. And I think the value that I bring, is I think my new salary should be, $1 million and $1,670,552. Wouldn't it be nice if we made that? But just make it a weird number. Right? Have that number end in something not normal and be I did the math. I calculated my value based on the revenue that I bring in. Just have it be a weird number and they will go for it. I'm telling you, it's tried and true.
Well, let's see how tried and true it is for Murray. 3,779.5 passing yards. You're saying over.
Yep.
Tell me why.
Listen, this is a fast-paced offense. Typically, all I look for with this, with these types of things is, one, are you going to play a lot of snaps on offense? Because if you're running a slow offense, it's really hard to earn yards, and it's really hard to be certain about it. They're going to play fast-paced. Two, we've seen Kyler Murray get better and better and better every single game in the passing game as he was progressing season one. Season two, he also gets this guy, DeAndre Hopkins. Pretty good guy, right? We're going to get DeAndre Hopkins out there. You're going to get Hopkins. He's he's not a possession receiver. I'm not going to call him that, but he was put in horrible situations for the Texans. Contested catches up and down, left and right. And he came down with the ball, which helps his quarterback earn those passing yards. So for me, I think it's all about DeAndre Hopkins' ability to help everyone else on that team, including Kyler Murray, and that fast pace, those little dump-offs, even if they're to Kenyon Drake, still count as passes. Those are passing yards.
All right. A quarterback that many people, I'm sure, here in this area is interested to hear what you have to say about him, and that's Sam Darnold, over under 20.5 touchdown passes. What say you?
Yes, let's go, Sam Darnold. Again, they don't have to be the longest pass ever, even though Sam Darnold can complete those super long passes. He can. We've seen him do it, right? I just don't know who they'd be too. But when you see those shorter passes, those ones count as passing touchdowns as well. So the Jamison Crowder slot, people are underestimating Jamison Crowder in fantasy. They're thinking, because you've heard all this, like, a lot of people have, like, Chris Herndon-like theories about tight ends, right? And maybe that's a good pick as a late-round tight end. But it's still going to be Jamison Crowder. Those slot targets, that's the guy in, like, rounds 11, 13, the kind of that area in fantasy that I'm looking at Jamison Crowder. His ADP is way down. I think Lev Bell will get those short passes because, remember, Frank Gore is still really good and really helpful on the ground.
So you're saying over 20 and a half touchdown passes for Sam Darnold. All right, so we're giving these quarterbacks a lot of love tonight. Over. Let's talk about some wide receivers. Wide receiver, Allen Robinson. I know a lot of people are high on him. Over 1,000... I just, again, these numbers. Over 1,073.5 receiving yards. Assuming you're over as well here, Cynthia.
Yeah, also share a birthday with him as well. Me, Allen Robinson, Hayden Hurst, same birthday. I'm glad we could bring them all up. You know?
I love
facts. Facts on facts. These are random things that I know when you've been prepping for the season. You're like, oh.
When is your birthday?
On Monday. That's how I know, because they send us out an email.
Your birthday is this Monday?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So what is that? What sign is that? What does that make you?
I'm the first day of Virgo, and the internet makes me furious because it says I was born 3 years older than I am, so I'm really only turning 38, but the internet says I'm turning 41, which is really, like, it's whatever. It is what it is, but, like, it should either say I'm turning, like, 88, and then people are like, wow, she looks great, or I don't, it should lie younger.
I don't know a lot about Virgo, so why don't you tell us about Allen Robinson while I Google Virgo? Go ahead.
No, uh-oh, it's going to be bad, I think. So, look. I think that the Bears, that everyone's thinking, oh, no, Mitch Trubisky last year, uh-oh, is it going to be Nick Foles? Is it going to be Mitch Trubisky? Well, they don't have a run game, blah, blah, blah. I think David Montgomery will be a lot better. I think you're going to see Allen Robinson, who, by the way, it's a contract season for him. So this is a year to prove himself. He has had crappy quarterbacks going, you know, back to Jacksonville days. And you go watch him at Penn State. Go watch him all the routes that he runs. He's in the spot he needs to be in. I think things will come together for the Bears a little bit more than they did last season, despite who's at quarterback. And I'm not even going to speculate who that's going to be. But I know one thing. I know Matt Nagy will get this offense going a little bit more in lockstep than we saw last season, maybe even a lot more than last season. So I like Al Robinson. I think that's a low number for him.
All right, let's talk about, because everything's been over, let's talk about some guys that you're anticipating the under, and I disagree on this. You're saying under 1,029.5 receiving yards for DJ Chark, and I like him a lot in Arizona. I think they're going to be playing from behind. I like the chemistry that I saw with him and Minshew last season. Why are you on the under with Chark this coming season?
Okay, so we saw some drops there, and that can be very troubling, first of all. Second of all, we saw some injuries, and a little troubling, too. Third, I don't know what they're going to do for their run game, because I'm not very high on Leonard Fournette, and Gardner Minshew plays better if there's a little bit more balance. Yes, we saw him take super fun snaps, super fun guy. I get it. I love watching him, too. I know, you know, Halloween costumes are amazing for him, but ultimately, I think you got to also look at Laviska Shenault, who came in, the receiver that they drafted. He came out of Colorado. And Shenault, he kind of resembles more. He's like a catch-and-run guy, but he kind of resembles more. He actually more like Saquon Barkley, which is, I know he's a running back, but he's kind of that Swiss Army knife. And I think they're going to need Swiss Army knife-like plays more than they're going to get that nice shark situation going, flowing there.
Okay. Another guy, and again, a little surprised here, Cooper Kupp. Under 7.5 receiving touchdowns this season. He was a beast last year. Why under this year?
So he was a beast last year. And you know what we thought? Remember, Todd Gurley was a beast for 1 year, and then they kind of picked up on it, right? And then there wasn't a ton of adapting. And then, Kupp's coming back from injury. And you know, the Rams, I know that there's going to be a lot of, I don't know who's going to get like the hype, who's going to get on the hype train for, you know, for everyone in terms of Rams and Chargers. But I think that this season, I think the guy I'm targeting in this offense is actually going to be Robert Woods. So I think he's going to get a little bit more love. And I think people are underestimating Robert Woods and maybe overestimating Cooper Kupp. 7.5 is a lot.
Okay. And let's talk about one running back in particular, and that is Ezekiel Elliott. You're saying under 1,332 and a half rushing yards. Well, Amari Cooper came out last week and said all three wide receivers are going to get 1,000 receiving yards. There's only one ball. There's only so many yards you can get in a game. I'm curious, why under for Zeke this season?
Well, for me, it comes down to their secondary, which is a question. If their secondary is going to be good, and I know that's the defense, but if their secondary is better than I think they're going to be, and if their defense is a little better than I'm thinking, we'll see. Then I could be wrong on this one, because then they'll get to run the ball more often. However, I think what will happen is they'll have to keep passing late in games. They don't think that those passes. I think we'll see a far more, you know, West Coast style. Mike McCarthy didn't really rely on the running back in the same way that maybe a Jason Garrett, who plays a more conservative style of game, you know, he was just going to be a lot more reliant on Zeke, whether or not it's, you know, the kind of modern way to do it, right? So I think Mike McCarthy will throw that ball and will have to, because I don't think their secondary, that's where they have questions, right? They didn't pay the secondary, and they're switching people over from different positions, and I'm not sure how that young or not experienced secondary is going to work. So I think it's going to be more passing late in games. It's going to be a high, high, high octane offense. I think Amari Cooper will get, I think it'll be two receivers with 1,000 receiving yards and not Zeke with, I think Zeke will get 1,000 rushing yards or 1,100, but I think it's a little too, I think it's a little too high.
All right, last but not least, let's talk about a team you seem to really like, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just to give you some numbers here, over under 9 wins, for them to make the playoffs is minus 137, and also for them to win the division is plus 350.
So make the playoffs is the one I feel the best about, because, you know, that's obviously the easiest threshold of all of that one to meet. So look at their first, starting in the 14th, their games there, right? Giants, Broncos, Texans, Titans. And then I think those four games, defenses are going to have a very big advantage. Steelers defense is better than the Giants defense. No offense, anyone listening who is a Giants fan. I think you'll all agree with me on that one. That defense is ridiculous. Broncos Steelers, I think the Broncos offense is a question mark on that one. And while the Broncos have a very, very good defense, I think the Steelers still have an advantage, right? I think the chemistry and the fact that you have, the more seasoned your team is in those first four games, the better off I think you are in terms of winning. And the more seasoned your defense is, defense and quarterback, I think the better off you are. So I think they're going to get off to a fast start. And I think that will help, because those Ravens games, you know, which is really the toughest one, they have Browns on the 18th of October, but they've got, you know, one Ravens October 25th, and then they've got another one on what appears to be close to Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's one of those things where look at their schedule, look to see how it all nets out. And I mean, they've got Washington, they've got the Jags, they've got, you know, the Bengals twice, obviously. So they've got some games in there that, to me, at least if they get off to a strong start, it could catapult them ahead of the Ravens, who have to play that first place schedule.
Meanwhile, I'm banking that the Ravens go 16-0. So,
woo!
Just FYI,
get it, girl.
Just yeah, six. what is that at right now? 16-0.
A million. So hard.
25 to 1. By the way,
I thought.
By the way, before we let you go, Virgo traits, ready? Strengths, uh-oh. Loyal, analytical. Oh, God. Kind, hardworking, practical. That is so you. Weakness, shyness. You're a little shy sometimes. Worry, overly critical of self and others. All work, no play. Oh, my gosh. You are so Virgo, my friend. Virgo likes animals, healthy food, books, nature, and cleanliness. They dislike rudeness, asking for help, and taking center stage. Wow. You are so Virgo. That's so funny. People who don't believe in signs are like, how can you not? That was Cynthia Freeland. That was Cynthia Freeland to a T.
I'm actually about to go eat. I made some chicken and Brussels sprouts for dinner. So yeah, actually. We're staying really on brand tonight. Virgo brand, nailed it.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. Always great to hear your voice. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yes, talk to you soon.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm going to say it's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks.
Hmm. You have confidence in them?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they have the road less traveled. We'll have the road less traveled. I think they're going to have, like, I think the West is just too unpredictable because the younger players in the West it's gotten so much better inside the bubble. Again, I think that they're coming back into their next season, and they've come back with a great deal of confidence. So Boston is great still, but I think the Milwaukee Bucks will be holding the trophy.
That's Kenny Smith on with Greeny on his radio show. The Bucks take on the Magic tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Bucks are favored by 12. Over-under on that is 226. Four games on tap for tomorrow. By the way, right now, earlier today, I should say, if you're just tuning in, the Raptors took care of the Nets 117-92. So they're up 3-0 in that series. They play again Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Right now, in the fourth quarter, you've got the Clippers up 122 against the Mavs. Luka, unfortunately, hurt his ankle, and he's been struggling. I see he's been on the sideline. I'm sure we'll get a report in regard just to how severe it is. Celtics took care of the 76ers. Sad situation with the Sixers with Ben Simmons getting injured. So Celtics 102-94 today. And the Utah Jazz up on the Nuggets 124-87. So they lead the series 2-1. Without further ado, David Berman joins us here on 90.7 ESPN. He has become a staple on this show and my weekend shows, talking all things gambling because he's a big part of our chalk site and our daily wager show. David, good evening. Thank you for joining us so late. I really do appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to be on. I thought your question this afternoon was amusing when you said, do you have plans at 11:30 at night? I'm like, come on, it's 11:30 at night. I'm married with two kids. What plans could I possibly have? But come on and talk with Anita.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you had you and your wife scheduled a double date. I don't know. Hey, I don't.
Last night we went and had a little, little party for Doug. And it was, that was my outing probably for the month. So, I saw Doug yesterday, had a beer or two. So tonight I'm on the phone with you.
Nice. And what David's talking about is Doug Kazarian, our Daily Wager show. Our new home is going to be in Las Vegas. And so Doug is on his way out there to get set up and to get ready. And we're going to rock and roll our new studios at Caesars. So that's going to be fun. And so that kicks off as we get closer to football season. All right. Before we start talking golf, let's put a little bow on this NBA talk because you have a pick on the Heat game. That Heat game is, I want to say what the next time they play is tomorrow at 3:30 against the Pacers. They're already up in the series 2-0. What line do you have with them right now?
I have the Heat at -4.5 or -5, depending on what book you use. And I think the Heat have been just as impressive as anybody so far in the first couple of days of the NBA playoffs. And, you can look at the bubble end of the regular season and you can look at other things. But I look at what's happened in the first 2 days of the NBA. First two games or now three for some series in the NBA playoffs. And the Heat defense has just come down and completely shut down the Pacers. TJ Warren hasn't been able to do what he normally does in shooting threes and scoring a lot. Oladipo, they have to use him a little bit more. I just like the way the Heat are playing. Jimmy Buckets, they went ahead and got him in the offseason. I think people have sort of forgotten what a big impact he can have on the series. And if you really want to know, look at Philadelphia without him and look at the Heat with him and the way Duncan Robinson's playing. And I think, this is a series that you're not – none of the series you're worried about home and road. They're all being played in Orlando, but the Heat have taken the first two as the 5 seed. And I really think they're going to roll tomorrow and put a big, big stamp on the series. They move towards the next round, or at least closer to the next round.
And not that you have a play on this game, but one game that I think everybody's going to really be intrigued with is that Lakers Portland game, considering that Damian Lillard hurt his finger. Now, from what it reports, everything that I'm hearing is that he's fine, x-rays are negative, and that he's going to give it a go. But still, you know, the fact that they were able to come out and win an impressive game one, and LeBron did not look, he didn't have a LeBron game. It was all, you know, AD in game two to help seal the deal and for the Lakers to win. I'm really intrigued with this game three, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to have to come down to Dame's health, as you said. If Dame's healthy and he's shooting like he normally shoots, obviously the Blazers, you know, getting seven in that game would be a steal to go ahead and do it. But if he's not healthy, there's no reason to think like the Lakers wouldn't roll. There's a reason they're the one seed. And again, to me, it's not so much what you've seen in the end of the regular season bubble, but the teams overall. And I mean, just a few days ago, everybody in the world was in love with the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets to go ahead and make an upset there with Toronto and the way they've been playing at the end. But you know, who's the better team? You have the champions, and then you have the Nets. And now it's 3-0, and that series is as good as over. And everyone fell in love with Portland by the way Dame's playing, and then they go ahead and win game one. And I don't blame people for liking Portland. At the end of the day, it's a 7-game series. The better team usually comes out on top in the NBA in 7-game series, and look for the Lakers to take back control tomorrow. You know, losing game one, coming back in impressive fashion in game two. Unless Dame is back to what he's been doing, I don't see a way they win that game.
All right, let's turn our attention again. David Berman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's turn our attention to what's going on with golf. An unbelievable day today, you know, with Scheffler shooting 12 under and DJ shooting 11 under. We're talking about two dudes who came out and put up a 59 and a 60. Just ridiculous. So they're towards the top of the leaderboard. They're at the top of the leaderboard. DJ's at the top of the leaderboard at 15 under, and you could still bet that he'll win this damn thing at plus 115 in some places. That's great money right now, especially the way that he's been playing, David.
It is great money. Is that not the most disappointing 60 you've ever seen in your life?
Man, it's like he teetered out, you know, in the back nine. Like he was so hot when he started, and you just, I mean, it's crazy to sit there and yeah, to answer your question, yeah, you're absolutely right. But it's kind of crazy that that's even a thought process. Right.
Well, I went out and played today, and I was wrapping up my round when I looked at my phone as I was, you know, getting my bag into the car, and I had like 15 text messages from my buddy saying everything about Dustin Johnson, and I look and he's 9 under through nine, and I'm like, holy moly, I got to get home to see the end of it. By the time I get home, he was 11 under through 11. I'm like, here we go, history today. He's going to shoot a 56, a 57. And I watched Dustin for seven holes, and all I saw was seven pars. I mean, what was I rushing home to watch? The guy just had seven pars. He didn't do anything. No, I'm just joking. The guy had an unbelievable round today. I guess if I had not gotten home to watch it, maybe he would have shot a 54. But, I mean, it's his tournament, obviously, to win. He has the lead. He's playing great. The odds are not fantastic for him to go ahead and be able to hold on to it. I would never take a guy at even money that only has a two-shot lead. But, you know, obviously, there's a lot of people pounding Dustin. But, I mean, what he did for the first 11 holes today is unbelievable, that you would have two eagles and all those birdies. And by the way, at the end of the day, he had a bogey-free round. So obviously, you're going to need that for a 60. But that was some kind of golf by him and Scottie Scheffler today.
Yeah, unbelievable. Which, by the way, Scottie Scheffler, you could put money. He's 12 under. So I'm sorry, he's 13 under. So he's two shots back from DJ. You could put money for him to win it at plus 650. 650 plus 700 in some places. But, you know, let's, as you said, there's some guys that are pounding DJ. They're on his coattails. And let's talk about them. Like Daniel Berger is a guy that I was really high on coming into this. He's 10 under, so he's five shots back. You can get him to win this at 14-1, but here's one for, I like him top five at plus 200, David.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good play, Anita. To get him, I've always been a big fan of Daniel Berger. You've heard me on the show predict him to win numerous times, at least finish in the top 10, top fives. And I actually like the 14-15-1 being only five shots back. Five shots back, with the way this course is playing, is absolutely nothing, because anybody can go out there and shoot a 62, 63, as you've seen. And I like his positioning. I was watching him a little bit this afternoon. He's a birdie machine. He doesn't make many mistakes. So here's a guy that I think at 14 or 15 to 1 would be good value, and I do like your top five play.
Harris English. He's 12 under, so he's three shots back. You can get him to win at 11-1. You could get him to finish in the top five at plus 175.
Day late, dollar short for me is a guy I picked to win each of the last 3 weeks, either in the column or on the show. And here's a guy in contention to win when I didn't pick him this week. Harris English is a great player. I don't think he'll win this week, but he is somebody that wouldn't be a bad option to play on.
Webb Simpson. He is nine under. He's nine under. You can get him to finish in the top five at plus 450, finish in the top 10 at plus 125.
He was another player who petered out towards the end today. He had a disappointing three putt par on 18 after he got there in two and had an eagle opportunity. And he also had a really, really great front nine, but he petered out on the back. He still shot a great seven under par 64 today. Maybe a little bit too far back, but I mean, Webb's playing as good as anybody on tour. One guy I want to throw out there is even further back than Webb would be JT. You can get JT at 28-1 right now, probably too far back at seven under par, eight back. But like I said, he goes out and shoots a 62 or 63, and he's right back in the mix.
Some of my favorite bets, David, before I let you go, are guys that I think can finish in the top 20. Hatton, plus 400. Hovland, plus 400. Kokrak, plus 300. Rahm, plus 100. And Adam Scott at plus 180.
Whoa,
so and these guys, they're sitting around -4, -3 right now. So I love all those plays finishing in the top 20. I think that's solid money as well, those lines.
My favorite one there would be Adam Scott. He's somebody who I took in the column this week to potentially win the event and finish in the top 20. And if you already have him, you're in good shape. If not, I would throw some money on Adam Scott.
Any guy that I did not mention that you're going to be eyeing going into this weekend?
I was going to say Adam Scott, but you mentioned that one for me. Keep an eye on John Rahm. He quietly is 6 under par and shot 4 under today. He's a guy who obviously is one of the best in the world. He shoots a 62 or 63. He would be right up there. I think Ryan Palmer's playing very, very good right now. And just, you know, keep an eye on Bubba Watson. He's a guy who likes to go out there and rip it and rip it. He's played very well through 2 days, and he's not getting the love from the betting community that you would expect. But he's sitting 6 shots back, quietly in good shape after 2 very solid rounds. And with this course, if you can get it out there, you can score. And he's done that through 2 days.
Bubba, grip it, rip it with that pink driver. I love it.
Love it.
David, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy your weekend.
You too. Have a good one.
You got it.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.